Now, in chapter 22, we see the river of the water of life and the tree of life and the promise of Christ's return repeated and the final invitation of the Bible. First of all, we have the river of the water of life and the tree of life, verses 1 through 5. Then the promise of the return of Christ, verses 6 through 16. And then the final invitation and warning, verses 17 and 19. And the final promise and prayer, verses 20 and 21. Now let's just get into this chapter a little ways. Now this chapter brings us to the final scenes of this great book of scenic wonders. It likewise brings us to the end of the Word of God. God gives us His final words here, and because they're last words, they have a greater significance. We are brought to the end of man's journey. The path has been rugged and many questions remain unanswered and many problems remain unsolved. But man enters eternity in fellowship again with God, and there all will be answered. The Bible opens with God on the scene. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And it concludes with Him on the scene and in full control of His own. He suffered, He paid a price, and He died, but the victory and the glory are His, and He is satisfied. Isaiah 53:11 puts it like this, He shall see of the travail of His soul, and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. And then we have first here in the first five verses, the river of the water of life and the tree of life. I'm reading my translation, the two first verses. He showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, and in the midst of the street thereof, and on this side of the river and on that was the tree of life, bearing 12 fruits, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, up to this chapter, the New Jerusalem seems to be all mineral and no vegetable. Its appearance is as the dazzling display of a fabulous jewelry store. But there is no soft grass to sit upon, no green trees to enjoy, and no water to drink or food to eat. However, here is introduced are the elements which add a rich softness to this city of elaborate beauty. That was a river in the first Eden, which branched into four rivers. Although there was abundance of water, it is not called the water of life. Eden was a garden of trees, among which was the tree of life. God kept the way open for man by the shedding of blood. Now in the New Jerusalem, there is a river of the water of life, and the throne of God is the living fountain supplying an abundance of water. What a picture. The tree of life is a fruit tree, bearing 12 kinds of fruit each month. There is a continuous supply in abundance and variety. You see, in eternity, man will eat and drink. And that's a great relief to many of us, I'm sure. The menu is varied, but is restricted to fruits, as it was in the Garden of Eden. Now, in the New Jerusalem, there is this river of the water of life, and the throne of God is its living fountain supplying an abundance of water. And the tree of life is a fruit tree, as we indicated, bearing 12 kinds of fruit. And it would seem that man in eternity will return back to the diet that he had in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis 1:29-30, we're told, and God said, Behold, I've given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth when there is life. I've given every green herb for meat, and it was so. Now, the 12 kinds of fruit would seem to suggest a varied diet. And there is a tendency to want to spiritualize all of this here and compare it to the fruits of the Spirit. Well, I have no objection to that personally, I rather would take that viewpoint myself, provided we hold to the literal interpretation, which I think you can do through this section here. Although it does seem highly symbolic, I think that we're dealing with that which is quite literal, for we're still talking about heaven. Now, we're told the leaves of the tree are beneficial. They have a medicinal value. Now, why is healing needed in a perfect universe is a very good question. And I would say it's a difficult problem to solve. I have made the suggestion that it's a sort of a first aid kit, which demonstrates the old adage, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. In other words, here is this first aid kit. And I personally believe that the bodies of the earth dwellers in eternity will be different than the bodies of the believers in the church who are to be like Christ. That is, their bodies will be like His. And I would say that the bodies of the earth dwellers may need renewing from time to time. In other words, that may be the reason they come up, not only to worship, but to be renewed, certainly spiritually. And I take this as a first aid kit here. At least the prevention is there, but the possibility of sin entering is just not there.